21.5 past the hour. Tuesday mornings means, well, they mean Dr. Don Clark. Don joins us from Garden Valley, Texas. Don is a biochemist, a member of the Board of Creation Moments, a vintner, and a loving father, a landowner, an American. What else are you? Did we cover it? Nice guy.
Big business. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Big business card.
Yeah, it was a missionary for a while.
And, yeah, well, that's true. I'm sorry, I left that out. Yeah, well, even for a while, you still do that, don't you? You're involved in several ministries.
We do have another ministry. It's called Abide 154.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of ties in with the vineyard because in John 15:4, he talks about abiding in the vine.
Mm-hmm.
And the vine and the vine dresser and all that. So,
okay.
Abide 154 is a helps ministry. We help other folks with there.
You were involved with Malachi Dads for a long time. Is that no longer?
Well, that's been a problem since the lockdown because we haven't been able to get into the prison.
Mm-hmm.
To do the Malachi Dad program, we would still be involved with it had we been able to get in, but we can't get in, and so the prisoners have been locked up, and it's been tough for them.
There's not much way to communicate with them either, because I don't think they have access to internet, or at least not most of them. So you can't. There's nothing you can. You can't just call them on the phone, can you? I mean, to talk to them, because you've got a like a team of people who know you that have built relationships with you, and so they're just cut off in this, huh? Is that right?
Well, semi. I mean, we can write letters, and we like electronic letters, and they get printed and given to the inmates, mm-hmm. and so we can communicated mm-hmm. to them through that fashion. And we actually finished our study by writing letters to them about the study that we were doing. So
I guess that's better than nothing. Kind of like Zoom church meetings are better than nothing, but there's nothing
it's not
like
the same as in
no, not at all.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to church every together. We've got church services. We're bold. We're jumping into the face of the pandemic.
Yeah, both of you up there in East Dakota, huh?
Get together. Yeah.
All three of us are there. The full church is 50 people. So, we've reduced it quite a bit. I mean, it's the church generally holds about 120, 140 right in there, but it's every other pew is sealed off or marked.
They offer like a Zoom meeting too, so other people can join online.
I think
okay.
we do.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
we do.
Can, yeah.
And then we also have a broadcast outfit into the parking lot.
Okay.
So if you want to come out and sit in the parking lot in your car,
mm-hmm.
you can watch people go in and go out and then listen, you know, as a service.
You smile and wave a little bit, at least that, huh?
Okay. But the service is shorter now because you can't sing,
mm-hmm.
you can't talk, you can't, you know, share handshakes. So the service is down to about a half an hour.
Okay.
And I told the minister, I told the minister last week, I said, how are we going to go back to a full hour? How is that possible?
Yeah. What if we like it this way?
Yeah. You get grief, you know, from people that, you know, they tap their watches when you go over 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Yeah. No. It's been a problem. We're back in face-to-face church meetings, and ours does go an hour, and we do sing, and we do have children's ministry now. We just started that up a couple of weeks, well, last week, actually. And we're doing Bible studies, and so we're
okay.
Continuing, but the number of people, of course, coming is much less than our full church.
Hopefully that'll get fixed soon. We've got two topics this morning, Don. One was a topic suggested to us by Sharon Burgess, as a matter of fact. She sent this link to me, and it's a page called Science with Dr. Doug. And the question asked is this: is a coronavirus vaccine a ticking time bomb? And it goes into some of that biochemical stuff and pharmaceutical stuff. Maybe you can explain to us what he's talking about here. He's talking about two types of what do you call that? The thing that fights it and antibodies. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Oh yes. Okay. So I got to make this. I got to break this down into such a way that folks can understand it, and I think I can do that. Actually, so the whole purpose of the vaccine is to develop antibodies to the antigen. In this case, it would be the coronavirus. So the purpose of antibodies is to coat the infecting agent, in this case, the coronavirus, and neutralize it. That is, instead of the coronavirus being able to attach to cells, you would have antibodies all surrounding it, and so it would be coated with the antibodies. So what's an antibody? An antibody is a protein. It's a glycoprotein. It's got sugar residues on one side, and that determines the type of antibody it is, but it's a Y-shaped molecule, and so at the end or the tips of the Y, the two ends there, is the sticky part that is a highly variable region on antibodies that actually attach themselves to the antigen. In this case, it would be some element or aspect of the coronavirus. On the other end is another sticky part that binds to a protein on or proteins on the surface of macrophages, for example, which are the other part, another part of your immune system. And macrophage, you can think of it as a big amoeba that actually takes in the invading agent, in this case the coronavirus, and essentially chews it up. So it surrounds the agent and chews it up. Now, all of that, is good, because if the antibodies are completely surrounding your infecting agent, then the macrophages can do their job without any danger to them as well, and actually, kill and neutralize the invading virus. But what happens, what can happen, especially with coronaviruses, it seems, but it can happen with other viruses, is that you don't get enough antibody production to completely coat the virus surface, or and for a number of reasons. It could be that the binding part is not strong enough, and so it doesn't completely coat it, or the concentration of the antibodies is not high enough, so it doesn't completely coat it, in which case you only get partial covering of the invading virus. And in that case, you have non-neutralizing antibodies. So in the first case I was describing of the antibody completely coating the virus, it would be a neutralizing antibody, because they would neutralize the effect of the virus. But with non-neutralizing antibodies, you've only get partial coating. And that then causes a problem. And it's the problem that it causes is an antibody-dependent enhancement of the disease. Because now you've got these other sticky part, you still have the sticky part of the the tail, if you will, of the Y, the end of the Y, the bottom of the Y, if you will, that still sticks to the cells. And in this case, it's sticking to the same proteins that it would normally, you know, stick to on the macrophages. And that would enhance its uptake by the macrophages and other cells, because this the receptor, if you will, is on other cells as well, and enhance the uptake of the virus into those cells, but it's not neutralizing the virus. And so it makes the virus, in effect, stickier, and then it gets incorporated into the cells, and then it starts, since it's not, hasn't been neutralized, it starts multiplying, and now you have a greater viral infection.
So it's possible that a vaccine makes you more susceptible to the disease.
It is possible. And in other cases with the coronaviruses, that's exactly what's happened. Now, this effect may not show itself for quite some time. I mean, the initial inoculation with a vaccine, for example, may produce a high enough titer, it's called, or concentration of antibodies to completely neutralize the virus. But over time, that concentration diminishes, and it may not be high enough then to completely neutralize the virus. And so the next time you're infected, or if you get infected with the virus again, you have a super reaction to it. And it's that super reaction that causes a cascade effect, which is the problem with coronavirus in the first place, that the people who have died from the disease haven't died from the virus itself, but from the superactivity of the immune system that begins to attack the person, and especially the respiratory tract of the person, and causes them essentially to go into a hyperimmune response, which then causes all kinds of breathing problems, and hence they get intubated, and you know, a lot of folks die from that response, not from the primary viral infection. So here, by enhancing the viral response, then you enhance this hyperactive immune system response, and the end result is that more people could die from given the antibody, I mean, given the vaccine, than from not given the vaccine.
Okay, and I should mention to listeners that there's a link to this article in the chat window at BrokenRoadRadio.com. So if you're interested, you can dig deeply into this thing. But Don, just to summarize, because I want to get on to Pangea, the race to produce a vaccine, does that increase the risk of this happening? Is this not the reason you have phase three testing, which normally takes months and months and months and thousands of people?
Well, yeah, I mean, this type of response, it either could be relatively immediate, or, like I said, it could take a year to develop, or it could take a couple of years, you know, to develop after you've initially been exposed. And so it, even if they did the normal vaccine, you know, development, they may not catch this response, this antibody-dependent enhancement, until a year or two after. So another coronavirus comes along, or the current coronavirus, of course, mutates, and now the antibodies aren't going to be as effective as they were, you know, when you first developed it, and now you get an enhanced response because of the exposure that you previously had, and you run into this issue. So you know, where do we go from here? It's they've already done animal studies and have shown that now, you know, monkeys aren't the same as humans, and but the antibody developed enhancement has shown up in the animal studies. It could pose a great risk, for example, to those that receive the vaccine. Now, vaccines are being developed all over the world, and we know that, okay, Russia has said they've got a vaccine that seems to be working. China has a vaccine that they're going into large-scale studies with and inoculating people, thousands of people. We are obviously developing vaccines as well. Will all of these have this response? Will some of them have this response? We're not going to know for probably several years.
Mm. And in the last couple of weeks, we've talked about the vaccine research going on and the testing. And, of course, now it's quite a political football as well. Some people saying, no, don't take it. It's going to be dangerous. The administration is rushing it too fast. And others are saying, no, we're taking all the precautions. The pharmaceutical companies have gotten together and said, no, we're minding our P's and Q's. Or just we're not short-circuiting any of the testing. But you've also mentioned that with increasing age, a vaccine tends to have lesser effect, because it depends upon your self-defense mechanism and the strength of your immune system to make it work, whereas older people have typically weaker immune systems. So the vaccine for older people may be of less value than it is for younger people. So maybe therapeutics is the answer, not so much vaccines.
Well, so you've got a couple of things going on. So that, with the older folks, they don't develop as many antibodies, for example. They don't have as great of immune response, as you pointed out, as a younger person might. So that would enhance this antibody-developed enhancement, if you will, in the older population.
Mm-hmm.
As compared to the younger population. So we may even see more older folks dying from it because of this particular phenomena, even though they get the vaccine. Now, the other aspect is that, what's the difference between a vaccine and natural immunity that you get once you've had the virus? Well, your immunity to the natural virus, you're developing antibodies to all different parts of the virus, whereas with a vaccine, they may take the spike part, spike protein, for example, on the coronavirus and just use that to develop a vaccine, and so you get kind of a semi-denatured spike protein that they then inject into you, which then would develop a immune response or develop antibodies just to the spike protein. So that would, because you only have antibodies against one small part of the virus, that too then leads to a antibody-dependent enhancement potential with that type of approach. But that's the approach that all vaccines
use. So when they say trust the science, believe the science doesn't know what it's doing yet, and nor may it ever. And it sounds like the designer's path to becoming immune is a lot safer than a vaccine.
Yes, the natural the natural process is probably far more safer than the artificial one that we are going to create.
Well, a lot of people have to decide soon whether to accept a vaccine or not, and it'll be an interesting thing to watch. I don't know how much Pangea is our second topic today. Is it too big to tackle, or do we have time to do that? We're not rushed.
Well, Well, I can introduce the subject, and then maybe we can talk about it more next time. And the concept has to do with after Adam and Eve were created by God, he gave them a command, and this command was, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And, you know, it sounds like a simple command, but he repeated it several times to subsequent generations, you know. Even Noah was to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the first thing that they did after the flood was to, not they, but Nimrod in particular, one of the Noah's descendants from Cush, for example, he decided, well, we're going to stick together in cities, and in the center of the city, we're going to build this tower going up to heaven, because Nimrod was a mighty hunter, and in certain translations, you actually get the idea that he was a mighty hunter of men, for the souls of men, because he wanted men worshiping him rather than God. And
megalomaniac.
A megalomaniac. So that then concentrated people in one place, and the result of that, God says, we've got to do something here to spread the people out. Otherwise, evil again, very very quickly, overtakes man, and then you know he's going to have to wipe them out again. So he confuses the languages, and we know that you know people then begin to disperse across the land. But in the meantime, during Noah's flood, and of course, you know, the evolutionist and the you know geologist will say, oh, you know, yes, there was such a thing as one large landmass that broke apart over millions and millions of years, and hence we finally get to the continents that we have, you know, today, over millions of years. Well, from the Book of Yasher, for example, which is has a little more information in it than Genesis, it says that the earth during Noah's time, that the earth was shaking and trembling about a week before the flood, and so that was the beginnings of the one landmass, the Pangaea, breaking up into the multiple continents. Well, if that was the beginning of that, then you would have the actual landmasses themselves breaking apart, moving apart during the time of the flood and post-flood for several years. And we've talked about this before with relationship to the Ice Age and all of this other stuff, and how it's all linked.
And by the way, the Book of Yasher is available online. You can find it to read, but it's referenced in the Bible. Obviously, of course, not a part of Scripture, but right. Referenced. Yeah.
And so you get some additional information, if you will, about that time in life. Okay. So the question. This is the question. That I propose. Why did God break up the continents? I mean, why do that? I mean, why not just leave Pangaea the way it was and leave, you know, one big ocean around this one big landmass and just leave it? Why did he break up the continents?
It's a good question.
Are you expecting an answer out of one of us or both of us?
Well, we could either tackle that answer now.
You have the answer.
I think we're going to tackle it next week when Don again joins us next Tuesday morning. So,
yeah. And we can work on our answers.
Yeah, you can work on your answers and see if you come up with the right one.
Yeah. Well, see if it. Shoot.
Okay. Don, appreciate your time as always. Thank you for coming by today. Drop it in. We'll look forward to next Tuesday. Okay?
Okay. Very good. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
See you next week, Don.